Hey guys, Bryce here from Flex Cortex. All content on the Flex Cortex podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes. It is not a substitution for medical advice from a qualified health professional. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, I am joined by Gabriella Kurtz. So we actually know each other through Team ZS, which is Zach Spencer's business coaching, and she works with Coach Anna. So today, we're going to talk about creating a better relationship with food, which is going to be really interesting because I actually have dealt with food-related issues in the past. But first of all, thank you so much for making the time to come on today. So to kick it off, let's hear a little bit about you, your schooling, what got you into lifting, and just like all the details. I want to hear it all.
Yes, thank you so much, Bryce, for having me. I'm so excited to be on a podcast. It's my first one, and to be talking about something that I like love so much is super exciting. I am an ISSA certified personal trainer. I'm also getting certified with precision nutrition, and I actually went to school for kinesiology. I just didn't feel like the curriculum was itching this part of my brain that I wanted to be scratched. And a lot of it was women-based stuff. Like, it's very, yeah, it's like broad, but it's very generic. And There's a lot of differences between male and female, especially with like slow twitch, fast twitch, muscle fibers, and like how much volume we can handle, working with like our cycle and stuff. Knowing when we could hit those PRs, and that's based off our hormonal cycle. And I just wasn't getting that from school. And then I took my ISSA certification, and they don't really go into that either. So a lot of my knowledge is I'm a self-learner. I love learning. I love reading. And a lot of my knowledge is actually just evidence-based and just what I've learned along the way, especially with working with so many types of women and so many – I've trained men too, but – I am definitely way more focused on women-based training. I train anywhere between like 18 to I've worked with like 60, 65-year-olds. So I work with a really broad spectrum. And food is a really big conversation that comes up with everybody. I mean, you have to talk about it as a trainer.
Yeah, no, of course. It's like I'd say obviously like you could have their training pretty dialed in, but if they're not eating towards their goals or eating for performance, then you're like missing half of the puzzle, right? So yeah. I have a quick question for you, because you mentioned that you went to university for kinesiology. So how was that experience for you? Did you find that you learned a lot, or did you feel like there was gaps when you came into the actual field?
I feel like there were so many gaps. Like, I feel like the textbooks were maybe like outdated. The teachers, maybe they're just my school. The teachers just are like PowerPoint teachers, you know, they don't like really go into it. It's just basic, you know, anatomy stuff. I mean, I had a teacher for kinesiology and she was great, but when it comes to like the science based, like anatomy, physiology, there's a couple other things that I learned that I was like, wait, but I just don't feel like that pertains to me. Or, you know, like that nobody ever really talked about how to train with your cycle. And, you know, when to push, when to pull back a little bit with weight. You know, I think for men, it's easier to do progressive overload a little bit more.
Yeah, no, so. I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that for sure. So while we're on the topic, with the nuance of training men and training women, what would be some considerations that you've seen or that you've practiced with your female clients? Like, you know, when they are actually in that time of the month, and you know, when they maybe are in like ovulation or like that kind of stuff, like what would you suggest and what would have you done that's worked?
So I pretty much just have my clients, like whenever they come with me, like to train in person or online, I always tell them, how are you feeling? Like, what time are we looking at? And if they tell me like, you know, I'm feeling really tired, I'm like, you're probably going to start soon. So I kind of know then to like, I probably can't push them as hard. So maybe I give them a little bit more volume, draw back on the weight. Or sometimes women feel really like they're tired, but they still can push the same amount of weight. They just need longer breaks.
Because women are
So,
badass.
yeah, women are so badass. And I mean, even when some of them are like literally bleeding, sometimes it doesn't affect them, but you really have to listen to your body. And women are very, very intuitive creatures. And just being able to dive into that is going to help a woman train so much better, more efficiently. And they're going to see like so many more gains. And with men, I mean, other than like, I didn't get enough sleep and, you know, I'm tired or, you know, the kid kept me up or something, they don't really have like a pullback with their progressive overload that they have to focus on. It's usually like they're very strength based. Volume is a lot different for men than it is for women in some cases, just because we have estrogen, which helps us recover a lot better. I mean, you guys are just want a lot more testosterone to grow your muscles to be stronger. That's a lot of like, I mean, for what I've seen, what a male's goal is. I mean, in bodybuilding, you do have to build your strength up to handle more volume, but how often is somebody doing reps of 30? I mean, women can usually handle it. I mean, as far as recovering from it, I'm sure men can do reps of 30 and get through it. But as far as recovering from it afterwards, the next 2 days, women just bounce back because we're supposed to give birth and then walk.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, like I said before, women are badass, and I'll preach that all day long. So, like, I think a cool note here too, from what I know anyways, is that men have a better tolerance for higher intensity but less volume, whereas for women have a better tolerance for more volume, generally speaking, at a lower intensity, if we're looking at just overall load and weight wise. And I think it's a cool consideration to keep in mind too, because like you mentioned before, like, women can still just kind of like truck through it, right? It's like, hey, I'm bleeding, but like, it's fine.
Yeah, I can do it.
So I think that's like an interesting point. And like, I also do think that it's important for a man, especially trained females, to understand that there is going to be some nuance as to how the programming looks when they're actually going to be like in, like, in their period, for example, or when they're going to be in ovulation. And there's going to be a little bit of like differentiation between those two, because obviously you're not going to have the programming the same all the way through. And like you were mentioning before, you're probably going to cut back on the overall, probably just load that you'd be using, but would you keep volume the same, or would you keep vol
Yeah,
or
I usually keep volume the same.
right.
But sometimes if like let's say it's like a something for a 6 to 8 reps that they have on there, I'll just be like, you know, you could push for probably 10, just lower the weight. Sometimes women they really want to like try for that weight and then they're like, why can't I do it? And I'm like, it's normal, relax. But for male trainers, if you really like want to push your client, it's usually going to be up 3 days post bleed and into their ovulation cycle, and then a week after that. So 2 weeks after their period is like when they're the strongest, they can PR and stuff like that.
So yeah, it's actually interesting, right? And I feel like a lot of women maybe aren't super aware of their cycle, or don't track their
That too.
cycle as diligently as maybe they should.
Yeah. And that's the stuff with like birth control and stuff like that comes in where it does kind of affect tracking the cycle. Some people don't even just get their cycle, you know, just based on the type of birth control they have. Or that kind of stuff is a little bit tricky, but there's ways to navigate it. But intuition is a savior, let's just say that. It definitely helps a lot, especially if you're like, don't be mad, like if you can't do something, like if with anybody, like try it. If you fail, okay, you could try again next time. But yeah. And I think also progressive overload, like you can always hit the same weight again. Maybe you won't hit it every week, but you always get back to it. Let's say 1 week you fail it, and you're like, oh, it's because of my cycle. And then you try it after your cycle and you're like, wait, I can do more weight easy.
Yeah, I think this speaks to the importance of like tracking metrics too, right? Like, even though that's why it's so important to like take notes of, okay, well, like, this is like the week of my period, or like you're like trying to track your cycle like in the calendar, in the calendar, or like even in the workouts, right? So that way, like you said, you can actually like look back and be like, oh, this workout might have been a little bit worse than a general workout, or like an average workout, just based off of the fact that I was at this point in my cycle too, right? But I also think that this is a good time to touch upon like the multiple layers to progressive overload, right? Like I think we tend to hear progressive overload and we get like married to the idea that it has to mean like more weight every week, but there's like so many layers to it, right? There's like changes in tempo, there's like positional awareness, there's going to be like movement quality, there's going to be like, overall volume. Like there's going to be like so many different layers to it, so I think it's like important to talk about the fact that even if you aren't just increasing the weight that week, not just specifically for like women tracking their cycle, but I think even for like people that are just like in the gym in general too, it's like focus on just overall quality improvements and improvements across the board, because that is like progressive overload in lots of ways too.
Yeah, and I don't know how you feel about like deloading, but I kind of tell my clients like this is a forced deload. Like you have to kind of deload and be okay with it, you know?
Yeah. We could talk about deloading quickly. I like the idea of a deload, but I do also think a deload is a great chance to really broadly look at the programming itself from like every aspect when it comes to recovery, but also looking at like a lot of external variables like stress, sleep. 'Cause obviously like the training component of it is just like one avenue. Like they could be like going ham at the workouts, and that could be part of it too. But if they aren't like dialed in, like we're going to talk about food today, but if they aren't dialed in with food, or if they aren't dialed in with their sleep, if their stress management is like trash, then it's like, okay, well, are you needing a deload because of all of these external variables, or are you needing a deload because of the overall like workload, fatigue, accumulation, all that stuff?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I know there's like so many people that say that like you don't need to or whatever, like, but I'm like, you know, sometimes I've made some serious gains when I just took like 3 days off because mentally I just needed to focus on some other things going on in my life, and then right back to it, and I did a body scan 2 days later or 2 days later, 2 weeks later, and I'm like, wow, okay, slay.
I had this conversation with somebody today actually, and he was asking me about he has a client, and he was talking about how this client has been like having issues losing weight, and we talked about like the whole idea of sometimes to move like two steps forward, you have to take a step back. And like in this sense, it's like, okay, well, maybe somebody's plateauing. And like I think our natural instinct is to like foot on the fucking gas. You can swear on here, by the way. So it's like foot on the gas, full blower. Like, but it's like, okay, no, like let's like take a second here, step back and like examine the whole aspect of it. It's like, okay, well, why is this person stalling out? Like, is it too aggressive of a cut, too aggressive of a bulk? Like, or, like what is actually going on surface level wise? But that's like I think where coaching comes in. Like that's where like we do our job is like, hey, like let's dissect these layers and figure out like why you're having a stall or a plateau, or like why you need to deload. Is it because like it's trash programming, or are you like not doing stuff you need to be doing so you can be progressing and moving forward?
Yeah, and like knowing how to ask those questions, 'cause people aren't just gonna like outright tell you like, "Yeah, I've only been getting like 6 hours of sleep." Like you have to like really just dig in there. "Hey, what have you been eating? What have you been doing on the weekends? Are you drinking beer? Are you doing this? Are you doing?" And then it starts coming back to light. And then you're like, "Oh, okay."
I feel like there's like a heavy shame component to like just the communication back and forth with clients and us. I don't know if you find that too, but I find like whenever you ask like, "Hey, how was your week?" right? They're always like a little bit intimidated. They don't want to bring up all of the food that they've been eating. And I want to humanize this for a second here. People that are listening, it's like, "Hey, we probably eat pizza. We eat food that we like to eat. We indulge." So, just like throwing it out there, if you guys do too, it's common ground, we
Yeah,
relate,
I'm
we
not a
understand.
robot.
No, and like I think people always think that we must be like this kale eating, this spinach eating meditation guru that just like doesn't do anything else except for like drinking green teas. But it's like, okay, well, we actually like do have a life that likely revolves around this, even though this is a big component of it. But still, it's like, well, we do have common struggles. You are allowed to have like the odd day where you want to indulge and eat foods that you want to eat, or circumstantially or whatever, or just via like pleasure. Like you're allowed to eat foods that you want to eat just because you want to as well. And I feel like it's just a matter of like getting clients comfortable too. It's like, hey, like I want you to share that with me, but also it's sometimes challenging in like an online space because likely you don't have as many touch points, right? Like with like an in-person client, you're seeing them maybe 2, 3 times a week, and you have like that examination throughout the week, like physiologically, right? But when you're working with an online client, it's like you're talking to them throughout the week, you're doing your check-ins with them, and you're like, "Hey, I hope you're telling the truth."
Or when they don't check in, you're like, "What are you doing? Hey, I didn't forget about you. Did you forget about me?" Like, but yeah, I mean, yeah, the check-ins are like so important, and just even when you're seeing them in person or just asking the right questions is so big, especially with food. And I know we're gonna be talking a lot about food today, so I'm down to jump right into it.
Sure, let's give her.
I mean, I'm doing my precision nutrition certification right now, and a lot of like the beginning chapters is stuff that I've already honestly like learned throughout my life and just my own personal journey of like navigating my relationship with food and being really honest with like where I'm at. Because I mean, I think for women too, like we just have a hard time conceptualizing like gaining weight and being
Always.
afraid of gaining weight. Or I mean, that was a big one for me. Like I've been a petite, tiny little thing forever. I'm 5'2". I used to be a really big, picky eater, and then that went away, and I started wanting to eat a lot of stuff, but it wasn't necessarily healthy. And then some days I would eat pretty good, and then a lot of days I'd also eat pretty bad. So it just wasn't consistent. And you know, like starting with the basics, like okay, my macros. Okay, let's see how my MyFitnessPal, and like going through that and navigating that whole process. I mean, I think when I first started with my fitness pal and like doing my macros, it took me like a month to figure out to really like get it and like, okay, no, wait, this is 100 grams of rice. 1 cup of rice is this, you know, like all the different metrics and stuff, and having it make sense and having it a part of like your everyday life is hard. It's
It
really
is.
hard. And
No,
I think
it's definitely
people
challenging.
underestimate it. Yeah.
I think like you brought up a good point there too about the portion sizes, right? I feel like that's probably the biggest issue for a lot of people when they start tracking food or like when they are beginning to get more aware around food portion sizes and everything is like, first of all, it's like tracking protein. It's like, well, I ate like a 185 gram chicken breast, and I'm like, you do realize that that's not 185 grams of straight protein though, right? And like they're like, oh, really? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, like if you ate two of those a day, that would have you at like 370 or whatever. Like, is that good math? I think it's good math. But so I'm like, that would just be insane. So I feel like for the first bit, it's just teaching people, okay, well, there's layers to this, and again, there's gonna be like ratios of again how much protein you're actually getting per like actual like weighed out portion, and then there's going to be like teaching them that, getting them to understand that you're not getting this and you're going to have to spread it out over the course of this many meals, and it's an interesting process, but it is cool seeing clients finally like shift towards it and enjoy tracking more, because I do feel like in the very beginning anyways, tracking can be very intimidating and frustrating because it's a big change and it's a big shift, especially if they're not used to being as aware, but also the nuisance it can provide with having to like again track your food. Maybe you were living a life before where you were like guessing.
Or like intuitively eating. I love that term. It's so funny to me because I'm gonna intuitively eat this donut. Like it's carbs, okay? But yeah, I mean, I intuitively ate for so long and it got me absolutely nowhere. unless like you've been tracking your macros and you've been on a meal plan or something for a really long time, and let's say you go on vacation and you don't have your scale, like you can intuitively eat because you've been dialed in for so long, you can look at a plate and be like, that looks about the same amount of rice that I would normally eat. And you know, this is the same amount of chicken if I'm gonna guesstimate. And you usually get pretty close, you know, like sometimes when I scoop my rice, I'm like, that's 140 grams. Yeah. And I like get it like right on the dot. So it just takes like practice to be able to even intuitively eat. And I think people use that word really like a lot. And they need to be a little bit more careful with how they use that. And I think a lot of the fitness community, they're like, yeah, if you intuitively eat, like you're gonna hit your goals. And it's like, well, you have no baseline to go off of if you intuitively eat.
Yeah, I think the idea of eating intuitively, like I like the concept of it, but I think what it lacks is structure and education. And that's most of the fitness space, to be honest. But I think in this case, though, it's like intuitively eating, I like the idea of it. And I think it makes sense for like a long-term exit strategy, right? It's like, okay, well, you've been tracking for years, you've developed quite a bit of understanding. And also, you've been adhering a while, but you also, like, again, you get in a good idea of portion sizes, like you mentioned, and there's not much variability within your diet at that point. Like, again, maybe if you are eating like pretty like staple protein sources, or if your protein sources are pretty consistent, like let's say your breakfast is the same and like maybe dinner alters sometimes, you can probably get to a point where you maybe are intuitively eating because you do have a pretty good understanding of portion sizes, of what your body needs for fuel. But I think when it comes to like specificity around like weight loss, weight gain, or if you are in some sort of sport where like you need to be honed in and like you have a goal, it's like, well, you have to be eating for that said goal. It's like with anything else, right? It's like if you just went to the gym and did whatever you felt like doing all the time, like you would never see progression. So like food is no different. It's like if you just had a plan, like, and then if you got like frustrated too, like let's say like we'll add a layer to it and you're like, oh, I'm not making any progress, but like there's guesstimation about how much you're eating. It's like, well, that's the very obvious low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, if you want to manifest your dream body or your health, like your aligned action is food. That's 70% of it. Like, and working on your relationship with food is like really hard. I mean, for a woman, I remember like going into the bookstore and like opening a magazine and it has like Victoria Secret Angel model, whatever. And then on Pinterest, it's like the Victoria's Secret diet ain't like the model's diet. And it's like a salad and four grapes. And I think for a really long time, I mean, I've trained so many women too, and of all ages, they can relate to this, where we've always been taught like the less food you eat, you're gonna lose weight, when it's literally the opposite. Like
More
the
food, more
more you
food.
nourish your
Yeah.
food, like yourself, you're gonna lose the weight. If you're eating the right amount of things that satiate you, you're gonna lose the weight. But as soon as you drop the concept that you need to eat less, like you're golden. You're on the path.
Yeah, and I think like this stresses the importance too of like getting some professional advice, and not just trusting what you read online. Because I think like what people do is they'll find their favorite influencer, and like that's great because it's going to be exposure for them to get into fitness, right? But I think like what they'll do is they'll see what they eat and they're like, oh, like they're eating 1200 calories, but the context of that is maybe they're like a week out from a bodybuilding show, right? So again, but then someone sees those, they're like, oh, they look like that and they eat 1200 calories, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, to look like that I have to eat 1200 calories. But there's so much like specificity within that too. It's like, well, where are you at in your journey? What's your body like? Like, how much muscle mass do you have on you? How active are you with your occupation? And there's like so many layers to it. So I think it's like really important to have somebody like at the very beginning look at your programming, but also give you like some macros, or at least give you some advice of like how much food you should be eating. Because I feel like that's like the one that's often neglected, but it is what will either like hold people back, or it'll help excel them.
And I think, like, I mean, whoever's listening to this and they want to get into like your nutrition and your relationship with your food and how much you should be eating, go weigh yourself in the morning, see what that number is on the scale, and just try to get to that number. And like, it's gonna feel hard to eat that much protein. Like, if I'm 135 pounds and I'm used to eating only 90 grams of protein a day, it's like, wow, it's almost double. Like, not double, but it's close.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be hard, but it takes time. And honestly, just slowly increasing the size versus all at once is also really important too, because you don't want to ruin your gut health. And like, you kind of have to, like, slow and steady wins the race. Like, just a little by little, those little adjustments, and especially as a coach, like, I analyze where people are at, and then I'll kind of put them through like a series of tests. I'm like, okay, like, what's your kryptonite? And okay, like, what can we do as an alternative? Like, when you're feeling like the X, Y, and Z, like when you want to binge or something, you tend to gravitate towards It's pretty much a carb usually. I'll
Yeah,
be like,
yeah.
what can we replace that with? Okay, Ninja Creami. Boom. Okay, let's do protein shake, and then like berries. You know, like something that's gonna like curb those cravings and stuff is big too.
Yeah, I think it's like really good to understand what triggers these emotions too, right? I think there's a lot of layers to that in figuring out, like, as from the coaching standpoint, like, what triggers your client to want to emotionally eat and what triggers them to not adhere? So I think there's like a couple different components to that and figuring out, like, okay, well, what are these things? How frequently is it happening? And then it allows you to like hone in on these things too and be like, okay, well, if this person tends to always drop off, like, let's say on a Thursday, let's say they're really good from Monday to Thursday, and then all of a sudden Thursday rolls around and they're like just off the rails for the rest of the week. It's like, okay, well, what is happening on Thursday every week that's causing like this like massive flux and like this change, right? And then just like realizing that, like, okay, let's point that out to them, right? Hey, like, I noticed that you're really great at adhering from Monday to Thursday. Like, you're kicking ass. It's awesome. But then when Thursday comes around, it's like a 360, and then this is what's causing the weight gain, or like this is what's causing you to stay at your weight. And then like it's just allowing them to understand too. Because I feel like people tend to think like, hey, I eat good the rest of the week, so I can just eat
One
like
bad day.
a I can eat like trash for like the weekend and it doesn't count, right? It's like, well, no.
It adds up, yeah. But I mean, there's also like, I just want to make it easier for people to understand like, you can still eat the things you want. You can still go out and have
Percent.
a drink with your friend. There's just certain things you should stay away from.
Yeah.
And turning to whole foods and really getting rid of like sugar addiction. That's such a big thing in this. I mean, the United States, it is. I mean, I don't know about, I know you're in Canada, but I'm sure everywhere around the globe. We all just are addicted to sugar. I mean, I know I am. I went through a massive sugar withdrawal when I started with one of my coaches, not my current coach, but I pretty much was on a recomp,
Nice.
and I, you know, low, very low carb, and I couldn't really have like a cheat meal or anything yet, like because I was really just trying to like stay dedicated to it. Those first 2 weeks were hard. I remember there was a cake in my living room, somebody's birthday. And I wanted to just lick the frosting really bad. I'm sitting there over the cake, like staring at it for a solid like 5 minutes.
just smelling it.
Literally. And I actually went and I grabbed some with my finger and I like barely put it on and I was like, what am I doing? And I just threw it off. I'm like, I was like an addict. Like, oh my God, relax. I'm gonna get my sugar soon. But yeah, just I'm so grateful that I hired a coach to just help me through so many different processes that I had to shift through because I don't think I would have been where I'm at now if I didn't ask for help.
Yeah, well, that's huge.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you one question first, and then we'll dive into the coaching part of that too. But you mentioned there that you had issues with sugar. What were some things that you did for yourself that helped with that? Or what are some things that you do with clients if they tend to get like really bad sugar cravings? Because that's probably like one of the biggest things that I tend to see as well, is like really bad sugar cravings, and like it's often pretty frequent.
Yeah. So zero sugar maple syrup, okay, and berries, and you can get like a low, like a, I think it's like a zero fat whipped cream, or like there's like a coconut whipped cream or something like that, where it's like super low, it's like 5 calories. Put that on top. It's
Nice.
like you feel like you're having like a bunch of sugar. And staying away from artificials, like red dye and stuff like that. There's a red vine, you know, red vine, everybody knows it. There's such bad stuff in it. And if you go to like Whole Foods or Sprouts, you can get the Simply Made red vine. It tastes exactly the same. I'm pretty sure it's less calories. If you eat two, it's not horrible for you. If you track it, you can still, you know, like have like a pretty good amount of carbs in the day, but it's a really great like little sweet treat, like cheat. And there's no BS in it. Like, just read the labels. Like, just read the labels and you'll find out so much. Like, there's so many other alternatives you can have. to your candy that you're just not seeing. Like there's zero sugar Reese's. Did you know that? Well, now everybody knows. There's zero sugar Reese's out there, everybody. So go find it. Go to your grocery store. Search high and low. It's there, I promise. If not, maybe Amazon has it. But
Okay.
there's so many alternatives. The zero sugar lollipops suck. Don't buy it. Just don't buy into it. But yeah, just honestly, just reading the label, doing some research, like you can still have those little treats and they taste the same.
Yeah, no, I love what you said there about like fruit too, or like berries. I feel like that's like such a good source of like sugar, especially like a natural source of sugar that will often curb cravings. It's so, like for me, what I've been doing lately too, because I get like a sweet tooth at night, is like I'll have like a Diet Pop usually, because that just helps.
That too.
But then also like I'll have Greek yogurt with, trying to blank here, sorry, fruit, and then I'll also have dark chocolate, and then I'll usually even put in like some sugar, like some zero sugar maple syrup. Or if I'm feeling like really optimistic, I'll put like some sort of like low calorie like chocolate syrup on it, just like something to just like help with like that nighttime craving too. But again, like it almost feels like, again, like a healthy dessert. But like again, like
Yeah.
it's like way more macro friendly, and like if you're using like, again, like a lower fat Greek yogurt, it's going to be higher in protein too. So like again, like it could be like super satiating before bed, which is like really good. And then also like it's different than, I mean, everybody what sometimes might want to buy like a Blizzard, but it's better than like, again, resorting to just buying a Blizzard.
I'm getting a Ninja Creami soon. I'm so excited. I want ice cream so bad all the time, and I just don't have it. The Halo Top, I mean, it's good. I don't know if everybody's had the Halo Top ice cream. It's okay. Some of them are like not the consistency I want, you know? It needs
That's
to be that like
expensive.
whippy kind of vibe, but it's
H
okay.
Halo Top is also expensive. Like if you're buying them regularly, like those like containers are really expensive, especially if like, let's say you're buying like one of those for like every night of the week. Like, I mean, you probably wouldn't eat that much ice cream, but like if somebody was like wanting that much ice cream, like that would add up. Like it'd probably be like $35 a week in like ice cream.
Like if you have half of it, sometimes it's anywhere between like 150 to like 300 calories, but it's which is not terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is expensive. If you get a Ninja Creami, you probably save a lot more money, but it is expensive just initially to invest in it. But
Yeah.
yeah.
So, earlier you mentioned that for you dealt with issues with food in the past. So, what were those said issues with food? If you're comfortable sharing those things, and how did you go about fixing that relationship with food? And I can go first if you
Yeah.
want.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sure.
If that helps. So, for me, I used to really lean towards food emotionally. And I've realized recently that it was because it's a control thing. So when there'd be times in my life where I felt like there was a lot of uncontrollable variables, I would like to lean towards food because, well, first of all, I can eat and get dopamine, but also I can control where I'm getting food from, how much I'm eating, and when I stop, which was usually not until it was all done. So that was an issue for a long time, but I think what for me what happened was I was able to really identify, because we talked about this earlier today too, even what triggered those emotional cravings and what triggered that desire for food. So I think once I was able to establish some understanding around what was triggering me to actually have that emotional response, it almost gave less power to the desire of wanting to emotionally eat. So even now to this day, what I'll do if I'm like really like, let's say I'm craving a pizza, I'll sit there and I'll be like, okay, well, am I just hungry? Like, when was the last time I ate? Okay, like if that's like if I ate recently, then I was like, okay, well, when was the last time I had water? Okay, it was recently. And then I'll be like, okay, well, let's look at my life a little bit externally now. What are my stressors like? And I'll kind of like dissect it like layer by layer. And then even by that time, like I've done so much like mental processing that I'm just like, I don't even really want a pizza anymore. Because I've just been like dissecting layer by layer about like why I'm craving a pizza.
Yeah, it's almost self-sabotaging. You're like, let me just be rebellious with myself. Like,
I'm trying to like logically work my way through my craving. And then like,
Yeah, you're like, let me parent myself really quick. Like
But also lately too, like I'm definitely like a volume eater. So like for me, like I'd say like my stomach is like a bottomless pit. So like what I've also been doing lately is thin crust pizza, because I think that helps if I am getting pizza. But then also like supersetting that with the salad. It's like, okay, well, like I'm having a salad at the same time I'm eating pizza. So it's like, okay, well, I'm matching that with volume. So I'm getting physically like just more food at once, and I'm satiating myself better. And I feel like, again, it's strategy. This is kind of off topic now a little bit, because I know we were initially talking about emotional eating, but yeah, I think for me it was like a matter of, again, just understanding myself a little bit more like physiologically, but also just like I said, say like psychology, like
Yeah,
psychologically wise too,
super
like
big in that. Yeah.
figuring out like what is triggering these emotional eating tendencies, and realizing like, okay, well, like I have control of if I'm wanting to lean towards food or not, and understanding, okay, well, like how can I actually like in a sense break this pattern, so that way I'm not tending to lean towards food. But
Yeah, same thing for me. Like, I think a lot of it had to do with my emotions and just stuff I wasn't dealing with mentally, and I didn't really know how to do it other than relate it to food and how I was feeling, or instead of like journaling, talking to a friend. So one of my big ones was I was in a toxic relationship and I wasn't taking care of myself in the relationship, and then after the relationship, I wasn't prioritizing my healing journey. I was just like so locked in on school, and I was kind of in a party phase. And I kind of just sat down with myself one day, and I would kind of realize I was like, I'm running in a circle and I'm going nowhere. And I worked at a gym. I was at like front desk at the time, and I always wanted to be a trainer. And then I remember my boss was like, why don't you be a trainer? Like, you'd be good at it. And this is not the first time I heard it. And I was like, yeah, maybe. And then I was like, okay, if I wanted to be this person, what would that look like? And I wrote a list, and I was like, she would have a better relationship with food. And I was like, sat there for a second, and I was like, okay, what does my relationship now look like with it? Because,
You use the whole process that I talked about with my pizza.
oh my God. And I was like, okay, well, I don't eat when I'm like, I don't have a time frame when I eat. I wake up, sometimes I'll skip breakfast, and I'm like, why do I do that? Because I don't have time. That's a lovely excuse, right? You don't make the time is really the answer. But yeah, or I would let my emotions, drive me. I would be depressed, and I would let people kind of like affect me in a way, and I would let school stress me out. But it's like all those things are my emotions are in my control, right? I'm choosing to go to school X, Y, and Z, right? But you can also choose to eat the necessary food you need in a day. So everything in life is a choice. And I kind of just sat there and I was like, I'm done choosing this for myself. And I started going to Sprouts and getting like, it's so easy to get food. Like, if you're like, I'm not a good cook, go to Sprouts. They have like ready marinated like food for you. You just throw it on the grill, throw it in the oven, air fryer, whatever. It's done in like no time. You could take that to work, school, whatever. And once I started getting into a routine of that, I wasn't tracking. I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I started working more on like my inner self, and that's
Nice.
like where your overall health and like how you look really transpires. Like, you could hire a personal trainer and eat like shit, you're still gonna look the same. I could write you the best program ever, but if you don't have a good relationship with food or a good relationship with yourself, it's not gonna go anywhere. So I think even being like a trainer right now, like, I make sure to have like a really open relationship with my clients and like have them feel safe and comfortable to talk about whatever, whenever. Because a lot of people are going through stuff that like they don't really know how to process or like go through. And like, if I can give them one piece of advice to help them, awesome.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think as coaches, we tend to be very like outcome focused. And I think we tend to also think like, well, I want this for my client. But I think the gap is like, well, what does your client want? And it's like, let's have that conversation. But I think also it's just a matter of, like, again, like you said too, like being humane, having a relationship with them, you know, being a little bit vulnerable on your end too, just being like I've told a lot of my clients too, like that I struggled with food and that I still do sometimes, right? And I think that makes it more relatable, but then also it tends to give it less power, because I think at that point they're like, oh, it's not just me, you understand what I'm going through. And then all of a sudden it's like you have a thing, something to bond over, they understand you, they feel more comfortable with you. And then they might even feel like a little bit lighter too. They're just like, oh, okay, I actually feel better now. I'm not feeling as stressed out. I'm feeling like less inclined to eat because I've expressed that I'm feeling anxious, that I'm feeling worried. I think a lot of it is like they're scared to have that conversation with us because they kind of like put us on a pedestal.
Exactly. And I don't want to be looked at as like a perfect human either. Like I make mistakes too, and like I want donuts and ice cream and pizza. I just had to learn discipline and control, and being open and vulnerable is so important in just like your everyday life that it's gonna like if you're open and vulnerable with your coach about like, hey, like I'm really struggling to eat X, Y, and Z, like can I have an alternative? The answer is always going to be yes. Like, don't just like have an internal struggle with yourself and then not talk about it because there will you'll be running in a circle going nowhere.
No, I had a conversation recently with Zach, actually. Like, we did our one-on-one, and we talked about that too, right? If you aren't taking care of yourself, it's almost impossible to put your best self into your business, but also that, like, just like content, but your clients, but also just like your family and your relationships, right? Because if you're not taking care of yourself, it's hard to be that best version of yourself that you want to be without actually like looking at yourself a little bit internally and being like, hey, what do I need to work on here to move forward? And I feel like we tend to just like mask this via like food, via other addictive substances, if people do that stuff too. But there's, again, it allows them to like disassociate and pulls them out of reality. But like end of the day, it's like mental health is like so important.
So important. Yeah, and I think a lot of people get into fitness because like they have something going on inside their head. And that's
A
I think the
thousand
most of us
percent.
with like 90% of people, that's like the last thing sometimes people think about, like I want to go to the gym and be healthy. Like, no, I'm gonna go to the gym because I want my revenge bod, or I'm gonna go to the gym
They're
because
fighting demons.
fighting there a lot of them are fighting demons, seriously. And I mean, I think when I started, I think I was just really like self-conscious and insecure, and I think I wanted to have confidence. So that's like, you're fighting your inner demons, But a lot of it has to do with like feeling comfortable in your own head too. Like feeling comfortable expressing yourself, feeling comfortable asking for help. And I mean, I'm a trainer. I have a personal trainer too. Like I feel like I need somebody in my corner to help me too. 'Cause I who am I to be if I'm a personal trainer and I'm like, I don't need one. Like, what?
Literally. Literally. If I could, yeah. That's, oh my God, that's so important. If like the amount of trainers that I talk to, that they're like, I don't need a trainer. Like, I went to school, and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Do you know everything about everything? Like, do you know everything about physiology? Do you know everything about like programming? Do you know everything? Like, it's just, there's so many things to consider. And like, I would say, I'm not sure you can maybe relate to this too. Like, you learn the most from mentors. Like, schooling is fantastic, right? Like, I think schooling gives you the credentials, and schooling gets you started, right? Gives you good framework. But what gets you good at your job and good at your craft is hiring coaches and different coaches. Like, as you progress and as you get better, you're hiring coaches suited to wherever you're at in your journey, right? Maybe it's for fitness, maybe it's for business, maybe it's for nutrition, maybe it's a life coach, maybe it's a therapist, right? Some form of figure that you look up to that has certain skills that you admire that you want to apply to your own life.
No, definitely. Like I have a business coach now and I have a bodybuilding coach, and yeah, it's really like changed my life for the better. 'Cause if I went in just with like me and my SSA like certification and like my little bit of like rehab from like kinesiology when I did some like clinical hours and Like, I don't think I would have grown as much as I have. And I mean, yeah, you learn a lot from like your clients and stuff, but you need those people that have more experience to help you along the way. So important.
Yeah, I think one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got was to hire somebody that you admire the way that they run their business. Cause like if you can hire somebody, but also yourself go through the experience and see how they do like their systems and see how they like nurture their clients and what they do, like that is not only good for you because you're able to like apply that to your own training, but you can also take that to your clients too. Like you're able to like look at their systems, look at how they take in their clients and maybe even like how they nurture their clients and apply that framework to your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, I'm excited for our viewers to see what they think and if they're talking or thinking or journaling about their current belief systems on, their relationship with their food and if
Yeah.
they're viewing it any different. 'Cause I mean, I don't know if you have a comment section, but comment below if you're thinking about how you can improve your relationship with your food and what needs to be done to improve it? Because, I mean, if you have a goal, you, especially with health and fitness, you have to have a nutrition plan.
Absolutely. No, yeah, I think that's like so important. And I think the biggest thing too is just getting a certain level of awareness around it, right? And that's kind of like the biggest thing that I think we talked about today too was like it's all related to awareness, right? It's like the amount of food that you're eating and like the foods that you're eating, the tracking, but then also like the awareness around like maybe the lack of the relationship around food or the mental block for you. So I feel like again, it's all tied into the psyche and figuring out, okay, well, is this holding us back, or is this allowing us to actually like get that good relationship with food? And like it's not a constant tug of war.
Yeah, definitely. Being able to like really analyze yourself, it's hard. It's hard to sit there and be honest with yourself, but it can be done. It can definitely be done.
That's the work though. Like I think
That's definitely
that's the
it.
work people don't want to do. They don't want to like sit with their feelings and they don't want to like dissect and like analyze their self and like work through it because it's uncomfortable, right? But like so is fitness and so is like everything usually that's like challenging but like also rewarding.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I definitely agree. But that's where the growth is for sure.
So to wrap this thing up, what is one piece of advice that you'd like everybody to leave with when it comes to creating a better relationship with food? I know that we just discussed like a ton of things, but if you could have one thing and then like a mic drop, what's your one thing?
My one thing would be understand where you're at, but also accept where you're at and know that you are exactly where you're supposed to be right now and that you're constantly growing, you're constantly changing, and you will get there.
Love that. Gabriella Kurtz, everyone. So, if they don't currently follow you on social media, where can they follow you? Instagram, TikTok, whatever socials you use, let's fire them off.
Gabriella Kurtz, one L in my name. Kurtz is KURTZ, and I have three Z's in my Instagram ad. So it's Gabriella Kurtz. Yeah, follow me on there. I'm trying to be more active on TikTok. It's G Baby Kurtz on TikTok.
Okay.
And yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I think this was a great conversation. It was great to talk with you too, because I feel like we haven't really like officially talked. I've seen you like in the group calls, but we've never actually
Yeah.
spoke. So this was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so fun. Thank you so much for having me on. This was so great.
Until next time.
Till next time.